Chicken move. The Accountant, too. This is still Ben Affleck, right?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I saw the first one, but I kind of only barely remember it. Ben Affleck is this guy who's kind of on the spectrum. Mm-hmm. So, you know, according to RFK Jr., he'll never pay taxes or hold a job or have a girlfriend, because that's always believable about Ben Affleck. But anyway, he's an accountant. He does accountant things, but he also gets involved in these like high stakes, you know, action movie stuff. And
right.
He's teaming up with his brother, played by John Barenthal. And they're going out and, you know, shooting things.
Doing action-y things. Okay.
Yeah. In the name of taxes.
Okay, right. Which is that old trope. Yeah. And I liked the first one, but I'm with you. I kind of only vaguely remember the plot. So
yeah, am I thinking right that, Anna Kendrick was in that too?
Oh, maybe.
Or is that another Ben Affleck action movie?
I don't know. It's hard to keep them. But is this one getting roughly similar reviews as the first?
It is actually getting pretty decent reviews, actually. There had been some good buzz about it before it came out, and it's running about 74% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Okay, so you'll get what you expect.
Yeah, I have heard a lot of people excited about this one.
Until Dawn. It's an ominous title.
Kind of a fun premise on this one. This is a horror movie. This group of teenagers goes out into trying to find some friends of theirs that have been lost. They all get horribly murdered, and then they wake up the next morning and go through the whole thing again. So it's kind of like Groundhog Day meets Friday the 13th, which, you know, there's kind of already a movie series that kind of has that premise too, Happy Death Day. But this just looks a little different. It's a group of people rather than one person that is reliving the same thing over and over. Getting okay reviews, 62% on Rotten Tomatoes, which is pretty decent sometimes for horror. So
okay, all right.
I mean, Sinners.
Yeah. I mean,
Sinners,
the horror is
amazing,
kind of its own genre, right? Where people, not everybody loves. On Swift Horses.
Kind of a romantic drama with Daisy Edgar Jones. She's in the middle of a love triangle between two brothers, one of whom is a gambler, and when he drifts off, she gets into gambling herself, becomes very involved with gambling on horses. Pretty decent reviews on this as well, running 82% on Rotten Tomatoes.
We're halfway there. The Legend of Ochi, or I'm not sure how you say it.
Also good reviews on this one. This is kind of a fantasy movie. Young girl who was raised to fear these very rare animals out in the woods called Ochi, and she discovers a baby Ochi and takes it upon herself to return the baby to the Ochi in the wilderness. And decent reviews, good cast, 80 again, running the 80% range on Rotten Tomatoes.
Kind of sounds like an orphan road wandering adventure questy kind of thing. Okay, I can see it. Cheech and Chong's last movie.
Yeah, so you know, those of us of a certain age remember that Cheech and Chong made a whole lot of stoner comedies in the 70s. They were a pretty iconic comedy.
My memory of these things is a bit hazy.
Gee, I wonder why. This is a documentary about their partnership. So they're kind of playing off all their movies where Cheech and Chong's up in smoke.
Right.
One of them was actually called Cheech and Chong's next movie. So the title is playing off of that, but. You know, if you're interested in these guys, which I mean, they're definitely comedy icons, if nothing else. This will be an interesting documentary to see and get good reviews on this as well.
Colorful Stage, the movie, that sounds like an anime title, is it?
It is. This is based on Hatsune Miku, who is actually kind of for a long time now been a virtual pop star that was created.
Oh, okay.
And there's a whole world. This is definitely a character. If you've gone to PensaCon, you've seen somebody cosplay this character. It's pretty well known in the anime circles.
All right.
Not screened for critics.
But a certain segment of the people will love to see it. So, and they'll spend their money and it'll do okay. And then we have a 20th year anniversary release of Revenge of the Sith. It's been 20 years since Revenge of the Sith. No!
kind of like if you remember seeing Cheech and Chong in theaters.
Yeah.
If you saw Revenge of the Sith in theaters the first time it came out, go get your cholesterol medication updated. But yeah, you know, this is, it's weird how things get reappraised over the years.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, a lot of people were very down on the prequels when they originally came out, and there's been a real revival of them in the past few years. Kind of the same thing happens with Star Trek. Like every Star Trek series comes out and people are like, And then, like, you know, 20, 30 years later, yeah. It's like, oh, no, you're wrong. That was great. I mean, like, Voyager has gone through this creative reappraisal. Enterprise is currently going through this creative reappraisal. And I think the same thing has really happened with the prequels. I don't know if that's because people really hated the sequel trilogy. But then, you know, in 15 years, everybody's going to be like, oh, no, that was brilliant.
It's
what
all
are you
fantastic.
Talking about?
And just as a side note, we are approaching the 50th anniversary of the release of Star Wars. We don't want to talk about that. Okay, so what are you going to watch next year, Julio?
Next week.
I'm thinking of next year for Star Wars.
Next year, it'll be Avengers Doomsday.
Nice.
Because we got about a year to wait. Actually, but speaking of Marvel, next week is Thunderbolts. So looking very much forward to that.
Very good. Julio Diaz, again, the host of Let's Go Pensacola Saturdays here at 4 o'clock on News Radio and also the host of the Pensacola Movie Club on Facebook. Follow them there. Julio, always thank you for the time. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Thanks, Andrew.
John Pickens has traffic for us. John?
Yes, brought to you by Frontier Motors, the only dealer Dave Ramsey recommends in Pensacola. That's Frontier Motors on Beverly Parkway. Still rolling accident-free right now. Good news on that. Also, things are starting to lighten up. I'm not seeing any delays to let you know about Highway 90, 98. They are all looking good this morning. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Gathering at Pensacola Beach is a wonderful family experience. If you've thought about having a family celebration or an amazing beach wedding, there is a very special home now available, Casa de Luna. Casa de Luna is spacious with room for large families. It has 9 large bedrooms and 8 bathrooms. Casa de Luna is a large private home with a refreshing pool and water views. The pool has a new 4,000 BTU gas heater. Casa de Luna is unique in that the main living area is directly on the ground level. It's very convenient. Bedrooms are both on the ground level and upstairs. One bathroom is handicap friendly, and another has a jacuzzi tub. There is a large gaming porch with a pool table, hockey, ping pong, and Xbox One. Bicycles are provided. Bring your family to Casa de Luna on Pensacola Beach.
For information, call Casa de Luna at 850-433-4855. That's 850-433-4855.
My name is Ariel. I moved to the U.S. at 19. I spoke no English and I struggled finding job opportunities. Everything I have, I owe to the Adult Literacy Center and getting my high school diploma at age 22.
It was an honor helping you achieve your greatness. Now you're helping others achieve theirs. It inspires me.
When you graduate, they graduate. Find free and supportive adult education centers near you at finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Bands on the Beach, presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority, happens every Tuesday night at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion on Pensacola Beach. Come out with a blanket or a lawn chair and relax and enjoy the sunset with your favorite bands. This week, it's the Smokestack Band. They're a trio of musicians that have been playing all over Pensacola for 50-plus years. Join them for a multicultural musical experience at Bands on the Beach. We'll see you Tuesday night at 7. Remember, no pets or glass allowed.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings before Pep Talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
Our first remembrance is for the British High Court, the United Kingdom's highest judicial body, which recently ruled that the legal definition of a woman is limited only to people who are born biologically female. In the terribly misguided but unanimous opinion of the 5-member High Court, and I want to warn you, this can be highly triggering language. If you need to cover your ears with the noise-canceling headphones located in the back of the pew in front of you, we will wait while you do so. Okay, everybody ready? Let's proceed with caution. The court said, quote, "The concept of sex is binary. A person is either a woman or a man. The unanimous decision of this court is that the terms woman and sex refer to a biological woman and biological sex," end quote. I know, painful to hear such blasphemy, but a useful reminder of how backwards, repressive, and unenlightened so many people still are. The court made this ruling in the context of being asked whether the sex-based protections of the 2010 Equality Act also applied to transgender women, to which they said no. The question has been whether the requirement that half of all board members in Scottish public organizations be women could be satisfied by having transgender women in those seats, and the ruling reversed the law's own provisions that they could, thus deciding that only people guessed female at birth are eligible to satisfy the gender parity requirement. Allies of the Holy Acronym String, of course, now fear that domestic violence shelters for women will be allowed to exclude transgender women, that women's sports will return to prohibiting transgender competitors, and that public loos will again become anatomically discriminatory. A truly sad day for gender anarchists everywhere. Please join us in shedding a gender-fluid tear for the death of the British sexual enlightenment. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Second, and this is really more of a news note than an announcement of cancellation because, frankly, we're just too excited to keep this off the menu for today. A new study published in the Journal of the American Medical Association, JAMA, shows that women aged 18 to 25 have finally succeeded in overtaking men of the same age in a highly competitive social metric that has historically been completely dominated by the men. Binge drinking. That's right, young women are getting drunk more often than young men. Between 2021 and 2023, 32% of women aged 18 to 25 reported engaging in binge drinking in the previous month, compared with just 30% of men of the same age. We simply can't overstate how wonderful it is to see yet another triumph for feminism. Finally, alcohol abuse is an endeavor women have proven themselves to be better at than men. Win, win, and more win. Now, it is worth noting that the definition of binge drinking for women is lower than for men because women's bodies are typically smaller than men's. For men, the definition is 5 drinks at a time or more, whereas for women, it's just 4. So yes, the women are being allowed to drink from the ladies' tees, so to speak, in order to make the competition fair, but if that's what it takes to beat the men at their own drinking games, so be it. And if we all work together, perhaps one day feminism can truly triumph and we will have a world where women are better at many things traditionally thought of as areas of male superiority. Belching in public, scratching themselves inappropriately, throwing dirty laundry on the floor, forgetting birthdays and anniversaries, leaving the toilet seat up, drinking straight from the milk jug, making lewd comments, leaving towels uneven on the rack, wearing cargo shorts, whistling at attractive potential mates, and the as-yet unassailable center of male social victory, nose-picking. One day, if we all dream hard enough, women too will dig and flick even better than their men do. That truly will be a beautiful day for femininity everywhere. But for now, be glad that women are finally being more irresponsible with alcohol than men are, even though they have to be graded on the beer pong curve to do so. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Finally, it is with great reverence and immeasurable respect that we award our highest honor, the triple platinum tambourine with 4 hemp tassels of commendation, to the delightfully anti-Catholic propaganda film Conclave, starring Ralph Fiennes, Stanley Tucci, and the absurdly miscast John Lithgow. Never before have we seen a film so unabashedly bashing one of the key enemies of our order, the Holy Roman See, and yet receiving nearly unquantifiable promotional value at Easter time due to the timely passing of Pope Francis. And add to this the fact that Amazon is actually using the death of the Pope as a pretext for offering the movie for free on Prime, knowing that audiences around the world will eagerly consume its brilliantly bigoted portrayal of the Catholic Church without even realizing how insidious the message is to their misguided faith. Now, I know some of you have not seen it and may be wondering how it could be possible that a film which clearly wants nothing more than to erode Catholics' faith in their leadership could have so blithely slipped by at a time like this, and I must confess, even I have no good theory for it. Nevertheless, we are truly impressed, and it's worth noting some of the crucial elements of the film. Also, I know some of you won't want me to spoil the main plot, so suffice it to say the ending is the most wonderfully anti-Catholic part of the movie, sure to make adherents question their own dogmas, even though it is completely disjointed from the rest of the plot. But what makes this bit of agitprop so powerful? At a time when a billion Catholics are anticipating their own real-life leaders meeting to select a new pontiff, a process which is zealously guarded in secrecy, this movie throws open the shutters and shows them a distasteful portrayal of the petty politics and egomaniacal machinations only their worst nightmares could have imagined taking place during the conclave of bishops. The reformers are portrayed as the heroes, of course, and rightly so, but still deeply flawed. The conservatives are portrayed, rightly, as dangerous advocates for oppression and intolerance. And the one person who appears to be uniquely virtuous, honorable, and sincere doesn't even want the appointment because his own crisis of faith is leading him away from the church. A perfect panorama of foibles. Add to this lies, pretense, manipulation, scandal, secrets, betrayal, and sheer naked politics at the heart of the selection process, and you really have given Catholics everywhere a vivid and unforgettably poisoned lens through which not only this conclave, but all future conclaves will be perceived. And the genius of it is precisely the doubts it will raise in the total absence of any contrary portrayal being made available by the church itself in defense of its own uprightness. Oh, and did I mention the vital role played by women who, of course, are disallowed from holding any positions of significant leadership in the great Holy Roman Church of Misogyny? It is an unashamed takedown, right up to and including that ending, which we simply must sit back and applaud for its audacity, for its power, and for its effectiveness against a deafeningly defenseless defendant. It's a real Hail Mary for the lapsed, non-practicing, and disillusioned Catholics everywhere. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Before you leave, we have had a question raised by several conscientious members of the Othership who wanted some terminology guidance going forward. This week was the 15th anniversary of the Deepwater Horizon oil rig disaster, and one member asked how we should describe the location where that tragedy took place. On the one hand, we oppose the jingoistic renaming of the Gulf of Mexico by President There's No Way We're Saying His Name because it seems rooted in anti-Hispanic sentiment. However, we have also strongly endorsed the change because it favors the mindset that name changes are good and normal, which, of course, our order depends on. Meanwhile, Escambia County, Florida actually rebranded their famous and iconic sailfish sign to say Gulf of America, clearly proving that the sign is correct in claiming that these are the world's whitest beaches. But where should we say the explosion occurred? If we say Gulf of America, we seem to be giving power to that dastardly man in the White House. But if we say Gulf of Mexico, aren't we guilty of first-degree felony dead naming? Something we certainly don't want to be accused of. To answer the question, our sacred and pungent board of language examiners convened over the course of 5 days to ponder the question, and their answer was definitive. The Deepwater Horizon disaster occurred 15 years ago in the Gulf of America. Because just as the Wachowski sisters made The Matrix, Elliot Page was nominated for an Oscar in Juno, and Caitlyn Jenner shattered records in her decathlon, there is not now nor has there ever been a Gulf of Mexico. And let all who dead name her be condemned. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
And now, brethren, sisterin, and otherin, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal and go forth and transgress no more.
827, News Radio 92.3, John Pickens has traffic for us, if he can.
Pick and flick. I mean,
no, dig and flick.
Oh, dig.
Dig and flick. Yeah, you got to use the...
Oh, goodness. No accidents.
The triumph of feminism, you know, or femininity, whichever. They're not the same thing, right?
And you only give me a paper tambourine, so.
Yeah, right. Well, you know, you get what you earn.
Okay, thank you. No accidents to report to you right now. We're seeing no delays either. This traffic report is brought to you by Knox Pest Control. Their family serving your family since 1929. For information on a free pest or termite quote, you can visit knoxpest.com. Knox knocks them out.
I'm John Pickens with your traffic.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was so enamored with
so
just
habitual.
my paper tambourine.
Your tambourine?
Yeah.
All right, very good.
Yeah.
where were we? I've completely lost track of things now. Hey, if you are thinking about buying or selling a home, you want to get obviously got a great deal buying or selling, but you might think, I don't need a real estate agent to buy a new home if they're building a new home. Oh, no. Like, Christina Leavenworth loves helping people buy new homes. She can get you a better deal because, you know, they're willing to work with people if you know what to ask for. Also, when you get the home actually constructed, a lot of times she says people don't want to complain about things that aren't quite right because they feel like they're too nitpicky. And she's like, oh, nitpick, baby. Blue Tape Queen is what they call her because she will put tape on everything. It's supposed to be perfect. And if it's not, well, that should be fixed. That's what you get in a brand new home. And that's a good example of how anything dealing with real estate, she's the person you want to talk to. 723-9158 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty. David Wayne's got our headlines for us in the newsroom. David?
Well, more details being released about Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth using an unsecured commercial line at the Pentagon. He reportedly used the Signal messaging app on a personal computer in his office to connect to the internet. That line apparently did not have any type of firewall protection.
He put a phone line, internet connection, into his office. They call it a dirty internet line that doesn't have any of the firewalls, protections, limits, controls, safeguards, so that he could use the app, the Signal app, on which he disclosed. Oh, my God. It just, every part of this story keeps getting worse. Go on, David. I'm sorry. It's just,
Well, how about we end with some happy news? Carlos Santana's back on tour as of today. The 77-year-old collapsed from dehydration earlier this week in San Antonio, but he's now been released from the hospital. It found that his condition is not life-threatening, obviously.
All right, well, that's good news. Appreciate that. Coming up next, we've got The Wrap. Butch and Lee Hansen, both retired captains in the Navy, will join us, and we'll talk about a whole bunch of things from the week. Stick around for that.
I'm Therese Crowley. The President and First Lady Melania Trump off on Air Force One for the Vatican funeral of Pope Francis tomorrow, while his special envoy is in Russia to talk to Vladimir Putin about ending its war on Ukraine.
It's a killing field. 5,000 soldiers a week on average. And we want to stop that.
The humanity also on display at St. Peter's Basilica for a third day. Over 128,000 people have viewed the earthly remains of Pope Francis.
And seeing the body and just remembering everything that he stood for is very important.
Vatican funeral tomorrow morning. Former President Joe Biden will also attend with Jill Biden. Back home, Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent has trade deal talks lined up morning to night, looking to land the first big deal. Bank of America CEO Brian Moynihan tells Fox even an outline of a deal indicating it won't get worse would calm the market. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 8:31 at News Radio 92.3. We've got 75 degrees, partly cloudy, a beautiful Friday morning. Governor Ron DeSantis reportedly sending out text messages to constituents of Republican lawmakers Alex Andrade and Michelle Salzman this week, accusing House leaders of working with Democrats to block his agenda, urging people to call their representatives, and they did.
It was nearly 100% supportive of what we're doing in the Florida House and supportive of what I'm doing related to Hope Florida. I owe Ron PAC. Okay, our governor named his federal PAC Ron PAC. Just mortifying, but I need to send a thank you letter. I need to send a thank you letter to Ron PAC.
District 2 Representative Alex Andrade there from here just a while ago on this program. He tells News Radio after the messages went out, he got calls all day from people supporting his investigation into Hope, Florida. The Political Action Committee is named Restore Our Nation, or as you heard there, Ron PAC. They sent the messages Wednesday afternoon. An Escambia County teenager and FFA member has been nominated to lead the 65,000-plus member Florida FFA Association. Isabel Jenkins of Pensacola High School, she was nominated to be the president of that organization. The nomination would guarantee her a spot as a state officer as well. The organization will hold a vote for president at the Florida FFA State Convention this summer. Jenkins will either be president or a secretary at the conclusion of that. 11 other students were also nominated as candidates. They were selected from a larger pool of students after an intense FFA interview process. Well, some more information on that fire at the MRF at the Perdido landfill this week. ECUA says it was probably a lithium-ion battery that caused the fire. That happened on Wednesday afternoon. Staff members quickly were able to suppress that fire. It did cause a brief halt in their recycling operations, but everything was back up and running by Thursday. Legendary stunt pilot Rob Holland has died. He was a crowd favorite in Pensacola, flying his MXS RH aircraft many times at the Pensacola Beach Air Show and the Blue Angels Homecoming Air Show. He passed away yesterday after his aircraft crashed, coming in for a landing at the Langley Air Force Base in Virginia. He had been practicing ahead of an air show that is scheduled there for this weekend. Well, the quality of Florida's air coming into question. We get a report from News Radio's Chris Bryan.
According to a Florida air quality report released on Wednesday, the air you're breathing outside is considered unhealthy. But the good news is, hasn't gotten any worse over the past couple of years. Overall, the report found that residents are being exposed to more unhealthy ozone smog and daily particle pollution. Now, between 2021 and 2023, Florida wasn't at the bottom of the air quality list compared to other states. But it also wasn't at the top. Chris Bryan, News Radio 92.3.
Thank you very much, Chris. University Town Plaza is among 10 Florida retail centers that's now up for sale, as owner Washington Prime Group is shedding its portfolio following a Chapter 11 bankruptcy. The University Plaza, of course, was transformed into an open-air shopping center back in 2012. It includes major retailers, JCPenney and Academy Sports, and several restaurants, Texas Roadhouse, Bubba's 33, Moe's Southwest Grill. 4.5 million people visit it each year. It's 8:35 at News Radio. And John Pickens has our traffic on the fives.
Brought to you by Costello's Butcher Shop at Deli, carrying a full line of meats, fine wines, and cheeses, corner of Lillian Highway and Fairfield Drive. No accidents to report to you right now. I-10, I-110 are looking good. Not seeing any delays. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. News time, 8:35, our Channel 3 forecast.
We are going to be seeing a beautiful day today with partly cloudy skies, high near 80 degrees for your afternoon high. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 69. For Saturday, we are going to be seeing mostly sunny skies with a few passing clouds, 10% chance of rain in the afternoon, but most of us looking dry, 83 degrees for that high. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 67. Very similar forecast on Sunday, 10% chance of a stray sprinkle, high near 84, low near 68. Stay connected, Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And right now we've got 75 degrees in Pensacola, a few degrees cooler in Milton, 70 there, 72 in Gulf Breeze. Our next news at 9 and breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. And your money now. Today we've got a mixed open on Wall Street. The Dow is down 37 points at 40,056. S&P up just about 8 points, though, at 5,492. NASDAQ is up 46 points at 17,212. Our 10-year bond rate down, but not by much, 4.286%. Gold price is down 68.40 at 32.80.20. Silver price is down 61 cents at 32.89. And looking at the crypto market, mostly up today. Bitcoin up 870.467 at 94.464.75. Ethereum's up $9. Solana's up $2. And Dogecoin up by a fraction of a cent today. Well, high mortgage rates and worries over the economy fueling a slowdown in the housing market. March sales of previously owned homes fell almost 6% to just over 4 million. That's the slowest March since 2009. Numbers from the National Association of Realtors showed that sales were down across all parts of the country except the West, thanks to strong job growth. Nintendo Switch 2 is selling out. Pre-orders for the new video game console began at midnight Thursday at retailers like Best Buy, Target, Walmart. By Thursday afternoon, it was sold out at most retailers, while Amazon hadn't even listed it for sale yet. Updates are available at Nintendo.com. China's canceling a massive shipment of pork that was bound for the U.S. On Thursday, the USDA said 12,000 metric tons of pork shipments had been canceled amid the ongoing trade wars between the two countries. It's the biggest cancellation of pork orders since COVID-19 disrupted supply chains in 2020. Our next news in 30 minutes and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
News Radio Pensacola has you covered no matter where you are or how you like to listen. Tune into our frequencies on 92.3 FM, 95.3 FM, and AM 1620 for the latest breaking news, local updates, and in-depth analysis. Can't be near a radio? No problem. Stream us live on our website or through our convenient app. Available for download on your mobile device. Plus, with our smart device integration, you can ask your virtual assistant to play News Radio 92.3, and we'll be right there with you. It's News Radio Pensacola.
I said a hip hop, the hibbit of a hip, hip hop, you don't stop. Rap,
I will definitely call you back later then.
Come on, wrap it up.
Big circle.
Okay, you know what? Wrap up the circle thing. Come on.
Mr. Parker, wrap it up, please.
Okay.
Okay, everybody, that's a wrap.
That's a wrap. It's an opportunity to have a couple of friends here in studio with me to talk about events and news. And in this case, this is one of those that I had originally, I think, had both of you on separately a couple of times, several times. And then one time it dawned on me, oh, I should have you on together. That would be fascinating for people to hear from two retired U.S. Navy captains who are married to each other, one of whom was a captain over or as a commanding officer over the U.S. Naval Nuclear Submarine, you know, fleet,
right.
Butch Hansen. And then the other, who was the first female wing commander and a very capable naval aviator in her own right, Lee Hansen.
Yes.
Captain both, retired. So good to have you guys back. And I always look forward to what interesting things might come of a married couple being together on the raft. So I wanted to start with this. I had actually wanted to have you guys on maybe a month or so ago when all of the military news was coming out, because I knew you'd have thoughts about this. You'd had some, you know, vacation, and you had a and you had an issue with the fire and a lot of stuff. And so I'm glad you're finally able to make it in. But can we just start with that? We're going a little bit back in time, but it's still relevant. The purging of information on websites, the purging of references to African Americans or to women on, you know, historical markers, and the shutting down of Facebook pages temporarily, or at least the notice that this space is under review pending compliance with directives from the administration, from the White House. I was horrified to see a lot of this stuff, even things like, you know, to see the CNO get fired, Lisa Franchetti, to see her get fired for what reason? Because she's a woman, because she had said some things in the past which looked sort of sympathetic to the cause of diversity in the military, which I'm not a big fan of that principle, but I like it. It seemed like this weird purge. So, Lee, we'll start with you. Just thoughts.
I appreciate that. Because one of the things that happened was a lot of my friends contacted me and said, did you see that all of the information about the 50th anniversary of women in naval aviation had been taken down off of these websites? And I said, no, I hadn't. My initial thought was, well, this is probably malicious implementation of a new directive. Oh, yeah? You know,
we're going to comply in a way that embarrasses
so
you, right?
We are going to comply until you scream,
right?
And I hope that's the case, because to me, the DEI issue was more in not selecting someone for service because of who they are, what they look like, things like that.
It wasn't promoting the less competent; it was under advancing the qualified,
right? But it wasn't the historical significance of the progress that had been made. And if we forget that, you know, where are we? And so we'll see
That's a great point, because, you know, the celebration or the at least recognition of including blacks in the military, including women and in various roles, is important to understand, because you have to know where the military had been.
Right.
And you can't talk the one without acknowledging the other.
Just as an example, when I was a CO of VT-4, one of the squadrons out of the airbase, I was coming back into the hangar with a student, and he asked something about how many traps I had, how many aircraft carrier landings. And I said, well, I have 3, because when I was growing up, women weren't permitted on carriers. Mm-hmm. And he says, that's weird. You know, he had no
he
idea,
know,
and I said,
yeah.
I was thrilled that he thought it was weird,
mm-hmm.
but we have made progress. We have gone forward, and if you don't know that, you know,
how can you celebrate the improvement?
This
right.
Static photo is how it's always been.
But I think you're starting to see that pendulum swing back a little bit. A lot of the things that were taken off websites, like the Tuskegee Airmen, the first female Thunderbird pilot, those things, they're back up.
Right.
Because
I know I was watching very closely to see how, you know, Amanda Lee would be treated and Katie Higgins with the Blue Angels. Because
Absolutely.
I was, and I had thought they had been taken down, which I was mistaken about that, and I was horrified about that. But anyway, go ahead.
But I think, hey, the boss wants this. Just like the pendulum swung back the other way when DEI it's even put out at one point as our number one priority, or diversity is our number one priority. It's like some of us were horrified to say, well, what about training and manning and, you know,
winning wars,
fighting,
and
those
stuff.
Things. It's hard to see why that would be such a high priority. But if that's what the boss wants, you're going to give it to him until he can't take it anymore. And so
I love that comply until you scream.
And then all of a sudden you get somebody in says, get rid of DEI. It's the wrong priority.
Yeah.
And so the pendulum is, well, we're going to overreact and bring stuff back before we're going to closely scrutinize. So anything that says woman or black or Native American
a list
or
of
whatever.
Keywords right. that are the right. most ridiculously bland
it's,
words.
Yeah,
right.
So
right.
get everything off, and now it's sort of swinging back. But I think that's the case, and that's the way the military is. It's like the boss says this, go do it.
Yeah,
and don't be accused of underperforming. Yeah. Always overperform before you underperform, I think.
So we have Lee and Butch Hansen here in studio with me for the wrap. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
We're still rolling accident-free right now. Not even any delays to let you know about it. It's all good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. It was just a small note, but I don't even know if you guys were aware. I don't think you were at it yesterday, but a good friend of mine, Scott Janik, retired yesterday. And it's kind of weird because Mongo with the Naval Aviation Safety School. He's still going to be in the job for a couple of months, so it's kind of a weird retirement, not retirement. But anyway, in the ceremony, he did something cool where, you know, you have the bells in, bells out,
right.
okay? And when somebody is leaving, they bell out as the commanding officer or as the captain or whatever, and then they also sometimes let the family
right.
bell
right.
out also.
When they're retiring.
And he paused his own retirement to allow a fellow, I believe, captain who had been dismissed under COVID for rejecting the COVID shot. He allowed him to get the dignity of belling out when
wow.
he had been denied that previously because he had been separated rather than retired. And I thought that was a very honoring kind of moment. It was just a neat, you know, neat thing.
No,
so.
I think that's great.
Because that's an example of, you know, this is the directive for now, and then we decide, oh, well, that was really a mistaken directive. You know, politics change at the top, and so, you know, policy changes in the middle. I did want to ask, we've been talking today a little bit about NPR and PBS funding, public funding. Just for people who might not have heard me talk about it before, I like NPR, but I don't think they should be publicly funded. They are a competitor with commercial radio stations, and they clearly have a lean. Even if they didn't, I don't think they should probably be publicly funded. PBS, I'm a little more open to because they do such good work with the kids stuff. But thoughts about public funding? And also sort of connected, I guess, is the defunding or dismantling of the Voice of America, this news service around the world that serves to advance, you know, I don't know, American political aims, but also just informations. So, you know, thoughts about any of the three?
I think that when you had the little bit on where they said, we have no idea what you're talking about.
What bias?
Bias.
Yeah.
Like, wow. I mean, but I guess if your world, your sphere only includes those people that are in your sphere, then
right.
you really do think that you're right middle of the road, no problem.
Bunch of blind people standing around telling each other, what do you mean we don't
right.
see? What are you talking about?
Right.
We're fine. Yeah.
The thing that changed for me with PBS was I was a news hour watcher, you know, an hour of news in depth.
Historically fantastic. Yes.
Yes. Until the point where one of the anchors said, but what if it's true that they are all deplorable?
Oh.
And I said, well, you know what? I think that's had enough of my time.
Yeah.
Because you're actually supposed to be neutral.
And that was part of the, part of the criticism was how many times, and I think it was PBS, not NPR, but how many times use of the phrase far right, 100 or something, and use of the phrase far left, like 2, you know, and just again, this kind of skew that if everybody thinks a certain way, you don't notice the skew.
Right. And the negative photos, the negative, just little connotations, you know, strongman such and such, or, you know, just the way things are said. It's clear there's a bias.
It's hard to do news without bias.
Sure.
It is hard.
Yeah. And
but that's
the
job.
And as we grew up, you know, we held up Walter Cronkite and others that's, you know, they were always middle of the road, completely objective. And historically, you can look back and say, well, maybe not exactly.
Right.
But yeah, that's the problem. But the bigger question to me, regardless of the bias, is that really the function that taxpayers should be paying for? Why do we have to pay for a radio service or a television service when there's plenty of competition out there?
Right,
why is
right.
the government trying to compete? So like anything, if you want to get more efficient, you analyze what's the output? How does it help the taxpayer, and is it worth that investment? And finally, I think we're getting some serious looks at that, and that's why there's so much pushback. There are functions of government, and I've been in the Pentagon more than once in my career.
Mm-hmm.
There's plenty of enclaves in the Pentagon that you say, what is your product? why do those 100 people, because they've always worked here. Yeah. There's always had a division of, you know, people looking at left-handed smoke shifters or something that we don't need anymore, you know?
I actually, one of the things I really like that President Trump is trying to do is that kind of zero-based budgeting, where every year you have to explain why we give you money, but zero-based personnel, which is a function of zero-based budgeting, but even zero-based policymaking, the idea that regulation should have to justify itself every single time. And, you know, I mean, laws should naturally go away unless if they're not solving the problem, then maybe we have the wrong law. You know, that to me, that's all of those things come together in terms of overall government efficiency.
Or even in our state, measuring the effectiveness of the legislature by how many laws they pass.
I'm not sure that I'm not sure that more is better.
Right.
Well, I'm sure it's not.
We usually
we saw that like a week ago. Somebody said, "Well, this legislature hasn't been very productive. They've only passed 30 bills or something." I'm like, instead of 150 or something, it's like, good.
Yeah, I mean, if you believe that government always does well, then you think of that as a failure. But if you think that usually government is best at doing the wrong thing, then you think, well, you know, hey, a little inefficiency is kind of what the founders had in mind, right? Exactly. Let's make it slow so that we get the least productivity possible, that we only get the good productivity, or at least, you know, that's the theory. Speaking of which, we've got this in the non-productive session that we've got. We've got this mega feud all of a sudden where the governor, my read is the governor is in meltdown mode, and he just cannot stop himself from stepping in it again and again. When he came to PSC, it was disastrous for him. He continues, sent out texts attacking Michelle Salzman and Alex Andrade, and they have both told me, Alex told me this morning, not 100%, but almost 100%, you know, DeSantis says, criticize me. People have called him after the text supporting him. Keep doing this. You know, this is good. And Michelle told me the same thing. Do you have a read for why the governor is just losing touch with what's appropriate and effective?
And I have to preface everything I say by saying I'm a supporter of the governor.
Yes.
But it is weird and it's very strange the way he's speaking about things. It's like, you know, the question is A and he goes into the B.
Well, these liberals and these people who hate helping children and these dastardly enemies of good and right. Yeah. I'm like, bro, it's me, you know, it's me. Alex is not a liberal. You know, it's just it's a weird. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I know. I sense there's an under. It's very disappointing to me. As I said, we've got a lot of big issues to deal with in the state. And, you know, questions of how should we be taxed? How should we apply different kinds of tax money? There are different colors and all those things. And to be having kind of this high school, spat.
Yeah.
And I don't know what the, there's got to be an underlying issue.
Yeah. Well, the theory from some of my Politico type friends is that this is really all wrangling over the 2028 governorship, Byron Donalds versus Casey versus other things. And that's Matt Gaetz, you know, that's really what this is all about.
Quite possibly. Who's, you know, who's going to be running the state in 2 years?
Right.
And that's the undercurrent perhaps. But, yeah, I'm disappointed in the governor's response. If somebody points something out, well, you know, appoint an investigator and come back, and if something was done wrong, we'll figure out how to fix it.
I mean, I'm the governor, my chief of staff, who is now the attorney general, gets implicated even somewhat in a $10 million looks like money laundering, you know, weird illegality, bad behavior, impropriety, if you prefer, whatever. My first response should be, oh, my God, I hope not. Let's look and make sure, because if it's really wrong, I want to know, as opposed to, oh, this is a bunch of liberals attacking me. What? I mean,
and
that just makes you look more guilty.
Yeah, and generally that does exactly that, where you start attacking other people. It's like, dude, answer the question.
Right,
you know?
Right.
And don't answer like, well, lawyers looked at this, and so it's okay.
Many lawyers.
Yeah, but don't we know that in every case, half the lawyers are wrong?
Yeah,
the judge decides
and
which
you know they
right.
are paid for a result, right? So,
right.
I didn't hear you say about Voice of America, and I'm really curious, particularly you guys, what you think about the dismantling of Voice of America.
Well, I think when it was founded in the olden days, you know, I lived in Europe, and the Voice of America was very important to get across the Iron Curtain.
Mm-hmm.
I think that people in those places now can
get access.
Get on the internet. They can actually find things.
They've got Twitter. So, they don't need VOA.
Yeah.
Right. Not just Twitter. There's so many avenues where information flows. Mm-hmm. You know,
are some countries where those things are not available.
Right.
But I'm not sure VOA is available either.
Okay. Well, fair enough. Okay. We have Butch Hansen and Lee Hansen here in studio with me, both retired captains in the United States Navy. One is a submariner. I always say it wrong.
Submariner,
sorry.
You can call us a submariner if you're a Brit.
If you're Namor. If you're a submariner if you're what?
A Brit.
A Brit. Fair enough. And Lee Hansen, who was a pilot and first... NFO, thank you. Yeah. The backseater.
You'll get it right.
I know. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now. I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
I'm still digesting the only three carrier traps as an NFO wing commander. Wow. Because women were not allowed to land on carriers.
And sought opportunities.
Oh, and you tried to get them.
Correct.
Wow. Okay. One thing that I had kind of wanted to talk with you guys about was this, I don't know, it seems to have caught a lot of people's attention. I know we had a big conversation about it the other day, is the proposal to put turf in on 9 Mile in the ball field to convert it from the existing dirt in order to, you know, make it more marketable and appealing to traveling tournaments and things like this. The people that I have heard from, including John, who is a coach for 10 years, says, no, it's not necessary. Fix the drainage. It doesn't cost that much. Do the amenities. That'll be more valuable. It seems like a lot of money when we're trying to do all these other projects and screaming about money scarcity. Butch, you're a numbers guy. You did budget analysis for the city council, for the city of Pensacola. Do you have thought about this?
Well, it seems like a whole lot of money. I have to agree that I'm not sure that's going to attract that many more people. Now, I've played just about every sport you can think of in my life. Turf is probably the most significant improvement in lacrosse because you get a more...
truer bounce.
You get a truer bounce every time, but you can also skip it easier in those things. But it's a different game on turf than... I'm not that kind of investment is huge, and I think the drainage issues and other issues at some of our parks and facilities would be much, much smarter investment if you want to attract people and some of the other amenities around than turf. I was shocked by that price tag with $25 million.
Right. If you tell me it's five, I'm much more amenable.
Yeah. Right.
25?
25.
You know, now we're talking about a whole new facility at this point. Yeah, you know, we're talking, you can really build a big thing. So
it's hard for me to see the business case where you're going to make $25 million back attracting youth soccer, baseball, or whatever teams.
Oh, and I don't know if you had any thoughts, Lee. I know it's not necessarily your issue. Okay, perfect. I did want to, Butch, Memorial Day is coming in a month and Veterans Memorial Park, which you are on the board. So.
Yes, I'm sort of an emeritus on that board, but the Sunday of Memorial Day weekend, the 25th at 1:00, we'll have our Memorial Day ceremony. There's always a huge turnout down there, and we have flyovers by two different squadrons this year.
Oh,
and the guest speaker.
Who's gonna?
And the guest speaker will be Lucky Kinsella.
Oh, okay. Well, he's fantastic, of course.
And so we encourage everybody to come down and remember our fallen.
Who's flying over? Do you remember?
VT-10.
VT-10, okay.
And I think one 86? Of the ones from
Whiting.
From Whiting.
Okay.
I think. Yeah.
Okay. Very good. Anything you want to let people know about, Lee, before we let you go?
The Global Corner, my foundation.
Yeah.
We teach kids about other countries and cultures. They're having their Explorers Luncheon on Wednesday, the 28th of May.
Okay.
And you can go to theglobalcorner.org and find out all about it.
Man, I tell you, Americans are so woefully ignorant
Absolutely.
We don't travel out of the country, we don't speak other languages, America's the best, and that's all we need to know, right?
Well, and this year we actually passed the 100,000 children served mark.
Oh, nice.
So yeah, 17 years in.
I will tell you, I learned so much that was valuable as an American by living elsewhere.
Yes.
Traveling elsewhere, learning other languages, and that is an incredibly valuable service, because Even if we are the best, it's still good to know why, you know, by comparison.
Exactly.
Butch and Lee, thanks for the time.
You bet.
Local Talk in the Morning, 5 to 9 with Andrew McKay is on News Radio 92.3. WNRP Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.
President Trump is on his way to Rome with First Lady Melania. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News.
Where we'll be attending the funeral of Pope Francis.
And before taking off, the president said, while he's in Rome,
we're going to meet with a lot of the foreign leaders. They want to meet. Trade deals are going very well. I think Russia and Ukraine.